And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, it's down the rabbit hole we go. That's right. Just like Alice in Wonderland, the poor little girl follows the rabbit and goes right down the hole, and she ends up in another world. A strange place. A place where, well, black is white and white is black, and strange things, very curious things happen to Alice in Wonderland. Well, it's been all over the world's press, this so-called terrorist or mass killer from Norway killed over 90 people, many of them young people, who were really trapped on an island right outside the city of Oslo, Norway. The murderer himself also planted a bomb in a government building where he thought perhaps the prime minister of Norway would be staying with his cabinet, and kill 7 people with that bomb. This murderer had some resources, did he not? A bomb that greatly damaged a government building. And then he had the arms and the ammunition and such. Very carefully laid out plan. Not a dumb young man, Mr. Anders Breivik, but ignorant nevertheless, and psychopathic. In other words, he was a deadly psychopath. Now, some people say, well, what does it matter to America? We've had our Oklahoma City, we've had our Ruby Ridge, we've had our 9/11 in New York City with the World Trade Center towers and Pentagon and Washington, D.C., and the other aircraft that crashed in Pennsylvania. We've had all these things happen to us. We've had our Waco with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. What do we care if upwards almost of 100 people, innocent people, are massacred in a city over in Europe on the Atlantic called Oslo, Norway? Well, first of all, friends, I want to assure you that the same thinking, the same rationale and reasoning behind these mass murders by this terrorist and perhaps by his friends and collaborators or conspirators, co-conspirators, that same kind of thinking is rampant across America. And I would not be surprised at all if such incidents were to reoccur here in the United States. In fact, it was not by accident, surely, that in the week that preceded these murders by Mr. Anders Breivik in Oslo, Norway, that our Director of Homeland Security, the lesbian Janet Napolitano, issued a warning or a report claiming that America's greatest threat to our homeland security was not the Muslims, but white domestic right-wing terrorists. How did she get that? How many incidents do you know? How many buildings have been brought down by right-wing domestic white-skinned terrorists in the United States? Of course, the answer is none. And nevertheless, we're paying tens of billions of dollars to protect America. And now we find out from our Homeland Security Director, Miss Lesbian herself, Janet Napolitano, that what we have to worry about is our next door neighbor, who's white and, of course, maybe right wing, meaning a person probably loves our Constitution, our nation, may have participated in our military, serving our country, is patriotic. And they're the enemy, according to Janet Napolitano. And, of course, one of the worst things in the world is that that kind of person is probably, like you and me, a nationalist. They love this country. They're a patriot. We're the enemy now, you see, of Homeland Security. And just to prove it, over in Europe, in the country of Norway, a man who, according to the press, initially at least, the New York Times and the Washington Post, said that this murderer, Anders Breivik, B-R-E-I-V-I-K, was a Nazi, a nationalist, a right-winger. I think we need to get this cleared up, folks. I mean, you know, I'm tired of hearing about all the Nazis out there. Now, I've been around over 6 decades. In fact, I'm going near 7 decades now. And I've personally never met a Nazi. I've read about a few, and I've studied a few people that people call Nazis. But I usually find out they're in the employ of the CIA or the FBI or the Israeli Mossad, and they're a bunch of hoaxes and bogus fakers. In fact, I did a whole investigative report on these kind of men. You can order from the ministry here. And maybe at halftime when we go for a break, I'll give you the name of that report. The fact is there are no dangerous Nazis running around giving the Nazi salute, screaming out, you know, Sieg Heil, Heil Hitler and all this kind of stuff. I know the movies portray it. I know that the Jewish ADL and the AIPAC people and the Southern Poverty Law Center, I know they want you to think that probably in your neighborhood right now, there's probably 500 or 600 Nazis ready to slit your throat. But it's stupid. It's not true. It's idiotic and it's ignorant to say that that is a fact, for it is not. And as a matter of fact, we will find very soon on this program today that this terrorist mass murderer over in Norway, in fact, is not a Nazi, is not a nationalist, is not a right winger. What you will find out, and I will prove to you, is that this person was influenced by Judeo-Christianity. He's a super Zionist. Far from right wing, he's a left wing Freemason. And his goal was to reinstitute, to reinvigorate, to refound, and to bring forth one of the most blasphemous and ugly of left wing groups that has ever existed, a group called the Knights Templar. I want to repeat to you again, Anders Breivik, who claimed to hate Muslims and kill white people who are not Muslims to prove that he hated Muslims. And I want you to think of the idiocy right there immediately. He killed white people from Norway claiming he did it to drive out Muslims. We already see something is amiss in this story. Now, the fact is, there is no doubt in my mind that the Israeli Mossad engineered this, and this poor, ignorant, stupid monster, because all those things go together, you know, Anders Breivik, was nothing more than, we might call him a dupe or a Manchurian candidate. But believe me, these people are legion. And if he could have got a hold of a bunch of Muslims, 100 or so at a time, he would have massacred them. Because in his own writings, he over and over praises Israel, praises Zionism, praises the Jews, and expresses his contempt, hatred, and how much he despises the Muslims. And anyone who opposes Israel or the Jews, this man would have loved to have killed. Now, you know, when an incident like this occurs, dear friends, I listen to the media just to see how much they're going to twist and disguise and camouflage the truth and the facts. And everything they said about this man, and I'm talking about not only the New York Times and Washington Post, but I'm talking about Glenn Beck. I'm talking about Bill O'Reilly, Joe Scarborough, MSNBC. Everything all of these people said was almost the same thing. Now, O'Reilly comes out and complains that some of the liberal press cast this guy as a Christian fundamentalist. Well, he himself said at one time that he was a Christian fundamentalist. So they were only parroting what Mr. Breivik himself said. And friends, anyone can say they're a Christian fundamentalist, but we will see. Now, if he would have said, I'm a Christian evangelical, that would have been more accurate, however. Because evangelicals are basically Zionist freaks. And I know I used to associate with those kind of people. I went to their churches and I figured them out. And I challenged them and I confronted these freaks. And I found out that some of them are very nice people, sincere, but they've been deceived because somebody has brought to them out of context a couple of Bible verses and twisted them, stretched them like taffy or a pretzel into saying things they don't say. This is why I feel sorry for Christian evangelicals. And some of you listening to me right now, you are a Christian evangelical and you claim to be a lover of Zionism and of Israel and of the Jews and of those who you believe are God's chosen people. And your problem is you haven't sought the whole counsel of God. It is very dangerous to take one verse or two or even three out of all the verses and passages in the 66 books of the Bible and to claim that these one, two, or three verses tell the whole story. I would just very quickly take you to the passages in the New Testament that talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read in all the Gospels how Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. And that itself is an incredible reinforcement of Scripture. Notice I said Gospels, Matthew, John, Luke, etc. But listen to me. I can find the prophecy that Jesus would go to the cross and die for our sins and that he would be the Messiah and Christ. I can find that in the Old Testament. I can find it in Isaiah. I can find it in Genesis. I don't need to stretch one little verse and say the Gospel of Matthew. I can take you to the book of Revelation and you can find that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. I can take you to Paul's letters and show you that he was the creator of this universe. Yes, Jesus Christ was the creator, so he had to be in the book of Genesis. The whole counsel of God is powerful, dear friends. This young man was deceived because he listened to those who taught a satanic cult called Judaic Christianity or simply Judeo-Christianity. Now, when a person comes to me or I read an article or I hear a sermon and they start extolling, praising Judeo-Christianity, I immediately know that they're of the devil. And many of them are sincere. They really believe there is a religion called Judeo-Christianity or there's a lifestyle or a culture. Well, there is, but it's satanic. If a person came up to you and you said, what faith are you of? And that person said, I'm of adulterous Christianity. you would blink your eyes and say, what is that? If a person said, I'm of an alcoholic Christianity, I'm a believer in a bottle of gin and Jesus, you'd say something's wrong there. Many years ago, I turned on TV and there was a religious program. And there was a woman preacher at a podium, looked like a regular church. She was talking about Jesus. And behind her on the wall was a crucifix and Jesus. I said, well, it's interesting. And I decided to listen to who this person was. Her name was Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Pretty soon in the same speech, this nice woman, nice looking, very calm, very coolly, mentioned her spirit guide, Count Saint Germain. And then I looked closely at the altar behind her, and I know she had a statue of Buddha on it. And there was a picture of some strange person on the wall, and she introduced this picture to people. She said, this is my ascended master who speaks to me in visions. His name is Count Saint Germain, and he lived in Europe hundreds of years ago. Okay. And before she finished, she was talking about the great I Am of the Old Testament and how Jesus was the collective consciousness for the whole world, that we're all Jesus's. I mean, this gal was bringing it all in. I was waiting next for, you know, Muhammad and Allah and the Hindu god Krishna. You can draw a big audience if you can bring in enough gods and goddesses. And she had a fancy name for her church. It was called a Church Universal and Triumphant. And she said, I'm a Christian. Can you believe that? And I wrote about this woman and her church in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. Now, today we have millions of Americans who say they are Christians, Judeo-Christians. But you can't mix alcohol or adultery and Christianity. You can't mix Buddha and Count Saint Germain and Allah or Muhammad and say it's part of Jesus. And you've got to take the whole counsel of God. Jesus told the Jews, you are of the devil. And you have for your religion, Jesus told the Jews, you have for your religion the commandments of men and not God. And some ignorant, stupid pastor with a doctorate degree in divinity or theology or something comes to you in some church and says he's a Judeo-Christian. And he doesn't give a big flip what Jesus said, that there are no Judeo-Christians, that the Jewish religion is one of the devil. And in Matthew 23 and 24, that the house of Israel is forsaken and left desolate by God. And would you like to know why the religion of Judaism is left desolate by God? It's because the religion of Judaism doesn't have the Messiah. They don't have God. They don't have Jesus. John said it very clearly. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And if you don't have the Father, you don't have the Son. Well, that's pretty clear. Read what Peter and John said in the New Testament. Those who reject Jesus but say they're of God, they're of the Antichrist. The Jewish religion is an Antichrist religion. If I ask you what religion you or faith you believed in and you said, I'm an Antichrist Christian, it doesn't compute. But there is no doubt that this Anders Breivik thought he was killing people and doing God's service. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He prophesied, they will kill you and think they're doing God a service. You know, in my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, in the introduction, I give some very important instructions to you. He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. This is the faith and patience of the saints We read in Revelation 13. If we say the Jews are of the devil, we speak the truth, that is, in their religion. But if we say we're going to kill them because of this fact, then what we have done is sent them on a one-way trip straight to the devil. Are we not doing the devil's work by killing the Jew? Indeed, we are. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There are Hindus who worship the cobra snake and call that snake the great goddess Kali. That is satanic. That is evil. It is perverted. If I take my rifle or my sword and slay as many of those Hindus as I can, am I doing God's service? No, I'm doing Satan's service. What happens to a person when they die? Hebrews says it is appointed for a person once to die. Afterward, the judgment. You're sending that person onto the judgment. The people of Jesus do not kill, but save. We bring life to the people of this planet. Do you not understand that, dear Christian? It is life we bring. It is lives we rescue and save and pull out of the fire. If we look at a Palestinian or an Arab, an Iraqi, an Egyptian, a Mexican, an Argentine, and if we say we hate you, you're not of our faith, we're going to kill you, are we not speaking the words from the devil's mouth and heart? Of course we are. This man was worse than a Nazi. He was a Satanist. Oh, he may not have bowed on his knees and prayed to Baphomet and to the idols that had horns and a tail and a red body, like we picture the devil sometime, but that's who he was serving. As all Jews in their religion, that's who they serve, and all Judeo-Christians. For the Jewish religion is of Satan, and if you try to combine Christianity with it, you have just brought Satan into the fold of God. And the Bible says, Jesus himself said, there is none of him in me. And I want to read you what Mr. Anders Breivik. There's a whole body of work that he left us. Oh, he left us a legacy, all right. And I've read most of it now, and a lot of it is disappearing. They're taking it off the net. They don't want you to know who this guy really was. Bill O'Reilly at Fox News doesn't want you to know. They don't, Miss Madoff at MSNBC doesn't want you to know. Katie Couric, nobody wants you to know who this man is. I'm going to tell you who he is. You need to know, because I suspect this very day you may pass on the sidewalk a dozen such people as this young man who's a murderer. For they have murder in their hearts, just as he did. For they are Zionists. They are Judeo-Christians. They have the potential to do great harm to human beings. Here's what he wrote on his website. He said, let us fight together with Israel, with our Zionist brothers against all anti-Zionist, against all cultural Marxist and multiculturalist. Let me repeat it. Let us fight together with Israel, with our Zionist brothers, against all anti-Zionist. That was what Mr. Anders Breivik, hero of the Muslim haters, had to say. He wrote an entire book and did a 9-minute, a stupid video even, about his theories, about his doctrines, as a supposed Judeo-Christian. His goal, he said, was to reinstitute, to refound the old group called the Knights Templar, the same ones that had the Crusades back in the medieval period. In fact, these Crusades went on several hundred years. They began in 1100, I think, and only ended about 1400 or so. So for 200 years or so, the Crusaders, who were mainly of the Vatican and in Catholicism, attempted to retake the holy city of Jerusalem. You see, a piece of ground was important to them. Material things. Carnality was important to the Knights Templar, who fought and killed hundreds of thousands of Arabs and others during the Crusades. The Holy Crusades. The Crusaders. Anders Breivik wrote his book. Maybe we call it his Last Testament. And it is entitled Knights Templar 2083. By 2083, we'll have this war against the Muslims going, and we'll drive them out of Europe. And I suppose out of the United States too. We'll get rid of all of them. Kill them all. Drive them out. And then I suppose this war would have continued until the Christian Crusaders had retaken Jerusalem. If this man had known the whole counsel of God, he would know that God does not live. God does not reside in temples built with hands. He does not live in an earthly city. For he has prepared a place for his people, and its name is heavenly Jerusalem. It does you no good to retake the carnal, earthly city of Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 11, we find that that Jerusalem that exists now in this world, in the Middle East, is the wickedest city in the world. In fact, God calls it Sodom and Egypt. So Mr. Breivik was nothing more than a wannabe citizen of Sodom and Egypt. And he didn't even know it. Let us, you know, fight together with Israel, with our Zionist brothers against all anti-Zionists. He killed many human beings, and he did it for Israel because he was a Judeo-Christian and a Zionist. And he was one of those people who said, I love Israel. You know, in his book, Knights Templar 2083, I counted over 200 times when he praised or mentioned Israel and the Jews. 222 to be exact times. Oh, he was a supporter of Israel and of the Jews, all right. He called himself Fjord Man, evidently. He gave himself a pseudonym online. Some people say this Fjord Man wasn't him. I think it was. And he wrote in the Brussels Journal, an online.com, an article or an essay called Why Europeans Should Support Israel. And he blasted the Arabs, and he blasted all of the European people who were opposed to Israel. He said that Israel is doing the right thing, the Jewish state of Israel. It's good for them to get rid of the Palestinians and to oppress the Palestinians. And we should support them in this, or there will be another Holocaust. Oh, sure. I'm sure. The Arabs have the capability to do another Holocaust. Are you kidding me? Maybe you better do some research and find out if the first one occurred before you talk about another Holocaust. Read my book, Conspiracy of the Six Bonus Star. When we return in a minute, I want to talk more about Mr. Anders Breivik, some of the things he said, how he wanted a war with the Muslims, and he wanted a Christian war against the Muslims, and that is exactly what Albert Pike, former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, sought. We're going to talk more about the ruthless violence and lawlessness of Judeo-Christianity and the potential revival of the Knights Templar. Did you know that drug thugs, the drug cartel in Mexico, is now saying we are the new Knights Templar? Really? We'll talk about that too. When we return, you're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. This Tex Mars again. I want to thank those of you who write and send love gifts and offerings and donations to Power of Prophecy today. And I'll tell you, we need it more than ever, dear friends. We're fighting battles on so many fronts, it's amazing. Can you name one other Christian ministry that does the kind of things that we do? I mean, friends, we're at the front battle lines. I mean, the barbed wire is up against our chest and we're pressing, ever pressing. We have enemies brought forth by Satan to attempt to bully us, to intimidate us, to stop us. You know, I have a new book out, as you know, called Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star, and a Christian sister wrote to me, and she said, oh my, they're going to kill you now. They're going to kill you now. I wrote her back, and I said, well, that's up to God. That's up to God when I leave this earth. But as long as I have breath, I'm going to dig in, and I'm going to tell the truth. As long as I have breath, I'm going to do that. Folks, let me just tell you something. I'm not going to ever whine or complain. I am so blessed to be in this fight. You have no idea how blessed I am. You know, I spent over 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, and I often thought of how fortunate I was to be in an Air Force blue uniform. When I got out of the Air Force, I had a good friend, a colonel. Don Webster was his name. He got a great job right out of the Air Force. He was a brilliant guy. Got a job working for Texas Instruments. You know, they make microchips and various high-tech things. And I suppose he was making at least, and this was, goodness, this is 30 years ago almost. He was probably making $250,000 a year working for Texas Instruments. And I was scheduled to get out of the Air Force the very next year. And he said to me, Tex, why don't you come and join me at Texas Instruments? You know, I can talk to the head manager, and we can get you a really great position here. And he said, how would you like to start out at $250,000? Well, that would be probably $1 million today. He said, with your Air Force experience and all of your training, your education, we can take you right on. And I knew old Don, he was telling the truth, because Don, he's one of the greatest guys you'd ever want to meet. He flew the U-2 spy aircraft for a long time. He was a strategic air commander. And I said, well, you know, Don, I just feel like I have another calling. He thought that was sort of strange. He couldn't understand why I didn't want to join him at Texas Instruments. And I said, Don, I think you're a great guy. I love you. But I have a different calling. And I did have a different calling. And it had nothing to do with how much money I could make. But I wanted to do something for God. I wanted to do what was right. Frankly, I'm amazed that I can even make a living from doing what I do. I really am. I don't think Wanda believed we could for a while. Are you telling me we're going to start a Christian ministry and we're going to go all over the United States and we're going to do these things and we're going to write books? I said, yes. Well, how are we going to live? She said, there's, you know, I'm a Christian too. I love Jesus too, but how are we going to live? I said, well, I don't know. We'll have to depend on God, see what he does for us. And she says, well, the only thing that I can figure out is, you know, this is what you want to do. This is what God is calling you. But, you know, I sure hope you don't get a Bible and just go down on a street corner and start preaching. You know, I would like to eat, she said, at least a meal or two a day. I felt sort of sorry for Wanda. I understood what she was saying. But both she and I took a leap of faith. And it was, I think it was much more than just a, you know, steps of faith. It was a leap. But I'm going to tell you something right now, my friends. I'm exaggerating. See, a leap of faith is when you jump into the darkness. I didn't jump out into the darkness. I jumped into the light of God. My leap was into the arms of Jesus, wherever you want to take me, Lord. I believe very strongly where the Bible says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. Now, I may not be as righteous as a lot of people. I may not be as deserving as many Christians are, and I appreciate that. And I wish God would, you know, forgive my sins and make me an even better servant of His than I am. But I want to tell you something, friends. I've never regretted one moment taking that leap into the light. Because that's what it was. It was a leap into the light. And I know I've given you my testimony on this program before. I just had a new book out entitled Dark Secrets of the New Age. The publisher thought it would probably sell at best 5,000 copies. And it sold that many copies in the first few hours. And it went on to sell hundreds of thousands of copies. So God opened doors. If you visit us here at Power of Prophecy, you will see a quote on the wall. And it says that God opens the doors and no man can shut them. And at the same time, God shuts doors and no man can open them. I've had people call me and say, we're taking you off of these radio stations because of the things you've said. I've had book distributors that say, we will not offer your books because of the things you say in those books. And I just go right on. I had one so-called Christian ministry, and they had ordered thousands of our books. And they said, well, unless you change this doctrine, we cannot offer your book anymore. And I said, that's fine. But I'm not going to change my doctrine. And you know what, my friends? Every door that closed, God opened another door. It never fails. So many doors have closed at Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy Ministries. And I don't wail, I don't scream, I don't cry, I don't moan. I don't say, why me, Lord? Woe is me. I said, well, praise Jesus. They've cut us off, have they? They've closed the door, have they? Well, let's see what God does. Every time, my friends, God comes through. And I want to assure you in your life, He'll come through for you too. You may not think so for a while. You may have a great persecution. I mean, we've had the IRS come to audit us for years at a time to harass us, to intimidate us. We've had visits from the FBI. I like to think they were the KGB sometimes, but we've had visits from people like this. I've had monsters who called me up and wrote to me and said, we're going to destroy you. And I don't threaten them back. I say, well, you know, do your best. I'll talk to God about it. We'll see what God has to say about the matter. And I'm still here. And many of them have gone on to destruction. I've always loved a verse in Isaiah that says, he who digs a pit shall fall into it. Friends, don't dig a pit thinking you're going to throw your enemy into that pit, because it's going to be you that falls into it. You just go about your business. Let them threaten you. Let them bully you. They think they're bullying you. Let them try their intimidation. Let them threaten you. And you just say, well, Lord, where do I step today? I wake up every morning, look in the mirror and smile and say, where are you going to take me today, God? What doors are you going to open today for me? That's what has happened to me in this ministry. It is an opportunity. If I were arrested today unjustly and thrown in a prison cell, I'm going to tell you right now what I would say. The first thing when they clang the door and turn the key, I would get on my knees and say, well, thank you, Lord. What are we going to do today? What fun are we going to have today? What adventure am I going to experience today? Who are you going to send in my life today that needs the truth today? I'm not going to cry and whine and say, why me? I already know why me. Because I'm doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, bad people try to destroy you sometimes. But you're just like the old proverbial cat. You always land on your feet. It always comes around and everything works out for the best. I have no doubt that will happen. Now, friends, I want to give you the opportunity to be blessed by helping us in this ministry. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to give you an opportunity to be blessed. What is God going to do for you? Is he going to give you a new executive aircraft? Probably won't. Is he going to give you a new Mercedes automobile? I doubt it. Is he going to send you on a vacation to Paris and Rome so you can spend $100,000 staying in 5-star hotels? Not very likely. Are you going to be blessed greater than any of those things? I think so. I know so. You know, friends, I've always thought that when I pray for a person or when I help a person in Jesus' name, I'm communicating to God in doing so. I think in the offering, in a tithe, in giving to God's work, you're sending a message to God, and it speaks loud. And I want to tell you something, friends. The giver gets more than the recipient. Let me say that one more time. I'm taking a little while for this, but I want you to understand it. He who gives gets more from God. You think about that. And by the way, God may give you material things. I don't know. I'm not saying he's not going to. You read in the Bible, and Abraham and some of the prophets were given great riches by God. Not every rich man is evil. Not every poor man is good and righteous. He might do those things. I don't know. I'm not going to rule him out. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, no, God won't give you material things. He might. I know of a lot of people who have prayed for a love mate that they'd like to marry. And if God wanted to give it to them, he did. Well, good for them. And people have prayed and asked the Lord for a job promotion or even a job. God gave it to them. They've asked God for a home, a place to live, and God gave it to them. I'm not going to say God's not going to do that for you. I hope he does. I hope God gives you health. I hope he gives you material possessions. But always remember this. The opportunity of serving God is not of a carnal nature. The kingdom of God is not what you eat and the luxuries that you have to live on. That's not the kingdom of God. There are blessings far beyond those that you will get. And let me say it again. I'm not meaning to be pompous or anything else, but I believe that you're giving to this ministry, Power Prophecy, is an opportunity for you. You will be blessed more than this ministry will. But that doesn't mean we don't need it. We need your help. I can promise you this, and I'll just tell you the truth about it. If it were not for the gifts, the love gifts from the saints, that's you, we would not be in business today. We do not make a profit. My broadcast engineer, Jerry, is sitting here in the studio with me, and he will tell you that. He will tell you that our, you know, little monthly financial statement, when we put it out, the question Wanda always asks is, how much did we lose this month? And about once every 6 months, we have a month where we actually make a small, you know, profit. Of course, we've already lost all those other months, so it doesn't, you know, compute. The red ink is too great. But she just jumps up from her desk and says, oh, goody, goody, goody. We're actually ahead this month. But I always come back and say, how much have the saints given? Okay, we're almost always behind. Selling books, selling videos, selling CDs and audio tapes. We are behind. I don't think we've made any money in about 5 or 6, 7 years. I mean, an actual plus. And that was taken away the next year. But I always ask the question, all right, that's how the world works. That's how we, you know, we didn't make any money. We didn't bring in anything. And folks, I'm talking about just, you know, we've got to keep our expenses keep going up. Postal and shipping and utilities and all those things, they keep going up. But my question always to Wanda, who takes care of the books, by the way, it's good to have your wife do it. You know it's done honestly and right. She's our bookkeeper and treasurer. I always ask how much of the saints given. And you know what? The saints always cover the bills. The lights stay on. Our newsletter continues to go out every month without miss. This radio program doesn't miss a beat every week. You'll hear us here. And I never threaten to turn us off, do I? I never say, if you don't give, there won't be a radio program. If you don't give, we won't have a ministry here. I'm going to tell you this much. If you give, it will be an opportunity for you to receive a blessing. And as long as God wants us, we will be here. And we've been here for over 25 years in this ministry. Over 25 years. We may be here another 25. Who knows? And we're going to avoid the pit because we're not going to dig it with a shovel. I'll let somebody else do that. They'll fall in. Friends, you serve God, you're never taking a leap into darkness. It's always into the light. And there will always be a reward for you. And I don't care how bleak it looks, how deep down in the valley you are, how your circumstances, you say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one, Lord. Well, you will. You will. He will lift you up, put you on his shoulders, and you will succeed. Because God is the greatest success there is. And if you're a part of him, how can you fail? If God is for you, who can be against you? Now let's return to our regular program. This is Tex Marts. If you'd like to give a love gift, if you'd like to take advantage of this opportunity to serve the Lord and the truth, then phone us, won't you, at 1-800-234-9673. And use your charge card to give a gift. You can send us cash or a check or a money order by writing to us at Power of Prophecy or simply to Brother Tex at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, if you can get to a computer, you know a little bit about what to do online, go to powerofprophecy.com and you can make a donation right there. I want to encourage you also to listen to a second radio program that we have called Bible Home Church. Bible Home Church. We have a weekly program there and I believe you'll be blessed by that. BibleHomeChurch.com. .org. I'm sorry. The dots keep changing nowadays. It's .org. O-R-G. Bible Home Church. Okay. We've only got a few minutes left. I wish I had longer. You know, Breivik, Anders Breivik, had a lot to say online in his book and in his video. He talked all about how our battle was to be in the fight with the Jews, with Israel. He was part of a group called Jihad Watch. Jihad Watch. By the way, he had a picture on his webpage of himself and a Freemason regalia, Freemason costume. He was a member of the Masonic Lodge and he thought he was doing his Christian duty to be a member of a Masonic group. But the Masons worship Lucifer at the higher levels. So not only are the Jews of the devil and of Satan, according to Jesus Christ, but the Masonic Lodge is also of the devil and of Lucifer. And their own sovereign grand commander who literally designed the 33 rituals of the Scottish Rite, Mr. Albert Pike, said so. And here's the interesting thing. Mr. Pike, in his book Morals and Dogma, says that our Masonic Lodge, the Scottish Rite, the largest in the world, is based on the teachings of the Jews and of the Jewish Kabbalah. All of the rituals are based on the Kabbalah of the Jews. And what is the Kabbalah? It is the satanic doctrines of the Jews. And you'll find out from my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, the chief doctrine of the Jewish Kabbalah is that the holy serpent is God. The serpent, the devil is God. So in promoting Judaism and Zionism and Israel, this young man over in Norway, this murderer, was assisting the devil. He was in a satanic religion. and enjoining the Freemasons and proudly wearing his Masonic regalia online, he also was serving the devil. The Bible says that only corrupt fruit comes from a corrupt tree. Judaism was corrupt. Jesus had no part in it. You say, well, now wait. He went in a synagogue and he read the Old Testament. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And friends, if they'll invite me, I'll go read the Old Testament in a synagogue myself. Be glad to. If they invited Tex Mors, I'd go to the International Convention of Demons and Devils and preach to them. But they haven't invited me lately. And boy, I tell you, everywhere Jesus went, they didn't like what he was saying. In fact, he went into the temple of the Jews. And while he was in Jerusalem, he said, see this temple? I prophesy that it will be totally destroyed and not one stone will be left on another. Don't you know that frosted them? But it came to pass. They hated Jesus. Thus fulfilled the prophecy in Proverbs 8, verse 36. All those who hate me love death. Mr. Anders Breivik can say all day long that he was a Christian. But there are no alcoholic Christians. There are no adulterous Christians. There are no Judeo-Christians. There are no Masonic Christians. Those are oxymorons. They don't make any sense. He said he was fighting cultural communism. Well, the Jewish culture is communistic. They're the ones who gave us communism. Karl Marx was a Jew. Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky were Jews. They gave us 66 million dead people, tortured people in the Soviet Union. And those murders were done by Jews. So now we see that Breivik was a hateful, murderous, so-called Christian Zionist. Now, I take you, my friends, to some understandings here. First of all, I want you to understand that Albert Pike, the former Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, also called himself a Christian. And yet he forbid the name of Jesus in the lodges. Albert Pike wrote a letter in the late 1800s to Mazzini over in Italy, who was the head of the Illuminati. Pike was the international, you know, head of the Masonic Lodge. And he was writing his pal, his satanic crony, Mazzini, over in Italy. And he stated the goals of the Masons and of the Illuminist. And our goal, he said, is to foment three world wars. And the final and last world war will be a religious war, will be conducted in the Middle East. And he said, in that war, the Christians will fight the Muslims, and also the Jews will be involved. But they will destroy each other. And because of their destruction, they're fighting each other in the so-called holy war between the Christians and the Muslims. Our brothers, in other words, the Jews, will become kings, will become man gods. And our Lord Lucifer will come forth. Now, I'm paraphrasing him. That's what he says. Think about it. This young Norwegian hoped to foment a World War III in which the Christians would kill and massacre as many Muslims as they could. Looking on from the balcony would be the Jews who would welcome the whole thing. Do you understand, my friends? You can go now to Jewish websites from Israel, and Israeli publications such as the Jerusalem Post and others. And over in Israel, they're blessing this guy who killed all these people over in Norway as a hero to the Jews. They love what he did. Now, the young people that he murdered were members of the Labor Party Youth. That was a party, and I want you to understand this because it's very, very important that you do. Norway had stated publicly that Israel was wrong in suppressing and oppressing the Palestinians. Norway had declared, its government had declared that that country would in fact vote for Palestine, the Palestinians, to have a separate nation, their own nation in the United Nations. Norway is quite a wealthy country, and they have a oil-rich empire because right off the coast of Norway is a great store of oil that's being produced. And they say that there is at least $400 billion worth of oil in the waters off of Norway. But Norway had said, we will not allow Israeli companies to participate in producing this oil. Why? Because they did not agree with Israeli foreign policy and what the Israelis were doing in stealing the land and murdering in Gaza and other places the Palestinians and starving and thirsting to death the Palestinians. And Norway disagreed with that. I believe the Israeli Mossad induced this young Norwegian man to carry out these horrible massacres. He himself said there were other terrorist cells assisting him. He actually stated online in his writings that he had just come back from London, yes, in the year 2011, where he had conspired with high-ranking businessmen and other leaders to do this foul deed. He's not some lone nut. He's not some so-called Lee Harvey Oswald, or at least the way they would like you to think about Lee Harvey Oswald. He was conspiring, I believe, with British intelligence and with the Israeli Mossad. And the summer camp where the shootings took place had just concluded a pro-Palestinian rally the day before. That's why he hated these other Norwegian people so much. Norway had also announced its plan to withdraw from the Libyan war. They're a member of NATO, but they said, we will not fight in the Libyan war. They woke up to what was going on. So they've endorsed Palestinian statehood. They have excluded Israeli investments in their $400 billion oil project. And the Israeli Mossad decided to punish them. And that is the exact truth of what happened here. And I believe Anders Breivik was nothing but a tool of the Israeli Mossad, of the American CIA, and of the British military intelligence. This leads again for me to talk about the ruthless violence of Judeo-Christianity. Friends, I can't tell you how many letters I get from so-called Christian evangelicals, Baptists, Pentecostals, and others who say, I'd like to see all the Arabs dead. I agree with Pastor John Hagee. I think we ought to drop nuclear bombs and missiles on Iran and just kill all the Arabs. Now, isn't that nice? Let's kill them so that the devil can have them for all of eternity. Is that what you want, dear friends? This is an evil thing. This is a ruthless, violent project of Judeo-Christianity. Just this last week, Glenn Beck was one of the keynote speakers at a huge conference in Washington, D.C., where Pastor John Hagee and all these thousands of others were there declaring, we will stand by Israel. America and Israel are joined at the hip. We're all one. No, we are not. Jesus divided the sheep from the goats. Jesus separated himself and his disciples from the Jews, and he prophesied the desolation of Israel until he returned, and it shall be so. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to another volume of Down the Rabbit Hole, Volume 7, in fact. My prayer, dear friends, is you will tune in each week during this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.